not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you so much for your mercy, which is new every single morning. Thank you for your favor that is on our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to come and worship. And I thank you, Father, that as the staff and I prayed this week, we declare that signs, miracles, and wonders and healings will be released even as the service takes place. And I pray that every person's ears are open and hearts are receptive to hear what you want to say to us. And I thank you that the power in the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to transform our lives as we hear it, as we receive it, and as we exercise it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, last week, Pastor Jonathan did an amazing job. Can we give him a hand clap? Yes, he did an amazing job. My beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He did a message last week on lifestyle evangelism, and if you missed it, please go back and watch it. And what made the message even more amazing is because it tied directly into the vision of our church. And for those of you who are visiting, or if you're watching for the very first time, the vision of Word of Truth Family Church is what, church? To know Christ and to make him known. Amen. And did you know that God's greatest mission is to reclaim the lives of men who are lost? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, they're going to put it on the screen. I'm actually reading out of the King James Version. It says, for this is good. Everybody say, this is good. He said, this is good. And this is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Who will have how many men? He will have all men to be saved. And this is also good and acceptable in the sight of God, who wants everybody to be saved. He also wants them to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, let me point something out before I keep going. That means it is possible. Say it's possible. It is actually possible to get saved, but not necessarily come into the knowledge of the truth. And that's why it's so important for us to come to church, so God can use his word to reveal truth into our life. Let me read 1 Timothy 2 in the New Living Translation. He says, this is good. Everybody say, this is good. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to what? Be saved and understand the truth. And this same God who wants everybody to be saved and to understand truth, he goes on to say, for there is one God and there's one mediator or go-between who can reconcile God and humanity. He said, it's the man, Christ Jesus. And this man, Christ Jesus, he gave his life to do what? Purchase freedom for who? For everyone. Listen, the death of one person gave life to many people. So if God's main mission is to get people saved, here's a question. Who do you think he's going to use to make that happen? Just look at your neighbor and say, he going to use you if you let him. Amen. He wants to use us. Jesus wants to use you and I, listen, to fish men out of darkness so that they can experience his marvelous light. And so if you're taking notes today, and if you need a copy of the notes, just raise your hands and our ushers will give them to you. If you're following us online, just find some kind of link, and I'm pretty sure you click it and you can get the notes. And so the message title today is, it's time to go fishing. Everybody say, it's time to go fishing. I don't know if you've ever, how many have ever been fishing before? Let me see your hand. Yes, there's a certain art to fishing. And so today, the message title is, it's time to go fishing. And the goal of the message today is to provide you with some information that will hopefully act as motivation in you sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Say amen to that. So our first point, if you're taking notes, is we have been called to fish for men. We have been called to fish for men. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, we're going to read just a clip of a story about Jesus. And it says in verse 18, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. One was named Simon Peter, and the other one was Andrew. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were what, church? They were fishers. And so Jesus said to them, watch this, follow me, and something's going to happen. He says, I want you to follow me, and if you do, watch this, I will make you fishers of men. Now let me ask a question in the room, and let me ask a question for those who are watching. How many of you are followers of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Let me see that. Well, guess what? That means if you are following him, just like he was saying to them, then he wants to make you a fisher of men. Say amen to that. So, unfortunately, in my opinion, which I rarely give, but I'm going to give it now, the average person who comes to Jesus, our lives are so bad. We come to eat fish, not catch fish. Life is so jacked up, marriage jacked up, kids jacked up, job jacked up, business jacked up. So when we come to Jesus, we ain't thinking about catching fish. We thinking about eating some fish. But here's the thing, as believers, catching fish is one of our major assignments. We already read that the Bible says it is God's will that all men be saved. He's going to use us to lead them to salvation. But if we don't allow Jesus to make us fishers of men, guess what? There are going to be people dying around us who, listen, the only way they're going to hear the gospel is through you. God doesn't just want us to be saved. Listen, he wants to use us to help save other people. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. One of my favorite verses, because this is one of the first verses I learned as a believer. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Listen, when you see the word therefore, see what it's there for. It says, therefore, if any man be in who? Be in Christ. He's a what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. And this person who comes into Christ and these old things pass away and these new things are coming, he says, all these things are of God. And watch this. Who has reconciled or returned us to himself? How? By Jesus Christ. And in addition to making us new, and in addition, watch this now, of giving us all things that come new, in addition to us being reconciled or returned back to him through Christ, he's given unto us, watch this, the ministry of reconciliation. Look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know you had a ministry. Listen, you don't need a title to have a ministry. You don't need to have a pulpit to have a ministry. You don't need to have a church to have a ministry. You don't need a logo to have a ministry. You don't need a podcast to have a ministry. You have already been given a ministry by God through Jesus Christ. Say amen to that. He said he has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and then he gave us the ministry, watch this, of reconciliation. Now, I'm going to talk about the word ministry in just a second, but let me just kind of give you an idea of this word reconciliation. You know what it means? The restoration to divine favor. So God has given you and I the ministry to, watch this, restore people back to God's divine favor. Colossians chapter 4 is going to explain to us or just reveal another level of this word ministry. It's the same word, but I'm going to read it in a different context because some of us don't understand that this ministry of reconciliation that God's given us, it's serious. And most people are trying to find, what's my purpose? God, what did you design me to do in life? He's already given you a ministry. And if you did nothing else, you have fulfilled the purpose he put you here for. Watch this, Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. I'm reading out of the King James. Paul told the church of Colossians, he says, salute the brethren that are in Laodicea and in Nymphos, not Memphis, but Nymphos. And the church which is in his house. And he says, and when this epistle or this letter is read among you, cause it also to be read to the church of Laodiceans. And that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Watch verse 17. Here's the point. And he said to Agrippus, I need you now, Agrippus. I need you, word of truth. I need you to take heed to the what, church? I need you to take heed, pay attention to the ministry that you have received from who, church? From the Lord. And then I need you to not just take heed and pay attention to it. I need you to fulfill it. God wants you to, listen, to fulfill the ministry that he's given you to reconcile other people to him. Say amen to that, church. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to read it through the New Living Translation. He said, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, they have become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task. Listen to this. This is our part. He's given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, and when he was in Christ, he was reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Turn or burn. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. Watch verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Look at your neighbor and say, you are an ambassador. He said, listen, he says, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Church, let me tell you something. We have been ordained as ambassadors for God's kingdom. And he has given us an assignment, listen church, to recruit others for him. Now you say, well, Pastor Evan, what's an ambassador? An ambassador is an official representative of a country who has been appointed to represent and promote the values of that country in a foreign land. Church, let me say it like this. The Bible tells us we are in this world, but we're not of this world. You and I are citizens of heaven. And we have an assignment on this earth of trying to reach every lost person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 in the New Living Translation says this, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine, Paul said, and learn from those who follow our example. He says, for I have told you often before, and I'm saying it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many people who conduct or whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. They think only about this life here on earth. But look at your neighbor and say, you need to check that butt out. Stay with me. He said, but you and I, we are citizens of what? Of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. We are citizens of heaven, trying to reach men on earth with the good news that there's a better life now, but there's eternal life later. We've been assigned to reach as many people with the gospel, which now leads us to point number two, which is your light is the bait. Your light is the bait. See, if you've ever been fishing, you know that it takes food to catch fish. I have never seen a fish jump on a hook that didn't have food on it. So that means now, if we are fishers of men, we have to have some bait in order to catch them. And let me tell you, church, guess what the bait is? It's your life. Now look at your neighbor and say, I think I'm in trouble right now. I think I'm in trouble. Matthew chapter 4, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Watch what Jesus says. He says, you, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. You are the light of the what? World. A city that's on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, they pull it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. But watch verse 16. He says, let your light so shine. So let me just insert this. Can't nobody stop your light but you. Haters can't stop your light. Your ex can't stop your light. The devil can't stop your light. If your light gets stopped, it's because you stopped it from shining. He said, you let your light so shine before men. And when your light shines before these men, it says they're going to see your good works and they're going to glorify God, which is in heaven. See, the whole point of letting our light shine is so that those who are in darkness can see some light. So how, watch this now, how do we let our light shine? How do we do that? See, our light shining is not just our talk, but it has to include our walk. And unfortunately, listen now, this is where it's going to get good right here. The world can't see past this stuff we be saying like, oh, well, God knows my heart. Let me tell you something. The world needs to see something, not just hear something. Now, let me set this up because I need you to walk out of here and understand. When it comes to your light shining, you can't use to the excuse to the world that, oh, well, God knows my heart. Because see, number one, they don't know God. And number two, they can't see your heart. See, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God had instructed Samuel the prophet to go and pray and anoint the next king of Israel. So he told Jesse, hey, bring all your sons to this anointing service so I can see who God's going to anoint. Well, he called all the sons except for David. So he gets to the first son, which was the oldest. And now we pick up the story. Because what happened is he looked at the first son, and the first son was tall and handsome. And he thought that was going to be the person to anoint. But watch God's response in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 in the King James. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his countenance. Don't look at how tall he is, his height or stature. Why? Because I have refused him. Watch this, church. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Stop right there. So that means that God sees things one way and we as people see things another way. Are y'all with me so far? So then he says, for man, watch this down, they look on the what? They look on the what? They look at the trench coat. Man looks on the outside. He said, but the Lord does what? The Lord looks at what? At the heart. And church, in most cases, the world needs to see something to believe it. Amen. See, the world has Thomas' faith. Thomas said, you know what? I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead until I can touch his hands and touch his feet. Say amen to that. And that's why how we walk and how we talk as believers is so critical. Another way of saying that is this. Your life is the bait. So just look at somebody and say, your life is the bait. Yes, your life is the bait. But unfortunately, sometimes our life is displaying stink bait. See, if you've really been fishing before, there are different kinds of fish. You got bass, you got perch, you got catfish. How many like some catfish? I'm gonna have, yeah. Well, catfish is caught with stink bait. Man, you just put some kind of stinky concoction together and somehow that stink bait attracts catfish. But see, guess what? When our life is stinky, it don't attract fish. It detracts fish. Amen. And see, here's the thing. We have been created by God to do good works. In other words, the chair has been created to sit on, correct? Clothes have been created for us to what? Amen. Glasses have been created to do what? See, well, God created you and me to do good works. And when he gave us this creation to do that, it empowers now us to live a life that shines. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 in the NIV says, for we are God's handiwork and he created in Christ Jesus us to do good works, which he prepared before we got here. And if you don't know God's will and purpose for your life, you don't have to go too far. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to, listen, have a scholar mentality. All you have to do is know you've been created to do some good works. That's your purpose. Listen to Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. He says, since you have been raised to what kind of life, church? A new life with Christ. He says, set your sights on the reality of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. The King James says, set your affections on things above, not on things beneath. Verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life. And your real life, listen, this ain't your real life. He said your real life, watch this, is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you and I are going to share in his glory. So he says, in order to do that, watch this now, you must put to death sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Watch what he says here. He says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Amen. That's anything that's outside the scope of the word. Amen. He says you need to get rid of impurity, lust, evil desires. He says you need to stop being greedy. Why? Because a greedy person is an idolater. He said, they worship things of this world. And then verse 6, he says, and because of these sins, God's anger is coming. But then verse 7, watch this now. He says, you used to do these things. You say, well, Pastor, I'm still doing some of them. We got a problem then. He said, you used to do these things when your life was part of the world. And let me just insert here. Some of you are still living like you used to before you got saved because your mind's not renewed to think like God. See, the Bible says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thinking. So guess what? If you live in the same way you did, there are two problems. Either you didn't get saved or your mind's still unsaved. Watch verse 8. He says, but now is the time, watch this church, here we go, to get rid of. Now, I love the King James because the King James says, put off. He said, you need to put off what? Anger. Some of y'all need to put that off this morning. He said, put off what's the next one? Rage. Some of y'all need to stop throwing pots and pans and throwing up the finger. He says, stop malicious behavior. He said, you need to stop slander. Put slander off. Stop talking about people. Stop using dirty language. Stop lying to each other. For you have stripped off your old nature and all of its wicked deeds. And then he says, you put on your new nature and be renewed as you have learned to know your Creator. Here's a take-home statement. Here we go. You have to take something off before you can put something on. I say you got to take something off before you can put something on. See, here's the issue. We get born again of God's Spirit. In other words, he re-energized. We get our spirit that was dead is now alive. But guess what, church? The world can't see that. Because that's on the inside. And so remember, God looks at the heart or the inside, and man looks at what? The outside. So the only way your life is going to be bait to the world is that they got to see something on the outside, even though God sees the change on the inside. And so watch this. He said you need to put off some stuff. So I'm saved. I got saved, but you can't see it because it's on the inside. So if you don't watch it, you get saved. And if you don't start learning God's ways, what happened on the inside of you will never be seen on the outside of you. And that's why they still treat you the same, because you look the same to them. But he said, oh no, you need to put off some stuff. He said, first of all, the only way people are going to see your light is that you got to take off some anger. He said, you need to take off some rage and stop putting cuts and putting knives on your boyfriend's tire. And, he said, no, you got to stop doing that kind of stuff. He said, look, you got to stop slandering. Stop talking about people. Girl, did you hear? Man, did you know? No, the devil is a lie. No. He said, listen, you got to take some stuff off. Because if you don't take nothing off, the world, they can't see your life as bait. So guess what? So now, the office knows. You used to come in to work high every day. Every day. They know. They smelled you coming down the hallway. Johnny's here today. No. But Johnny's going to have to learn to put some stuff off. So now it's like, oh, okay, well, okay, Lord, I need you to help me. And so you stop smoking, stop smoking that weed, for about a month. But see, guess what, church? If you put something off, you can put it back on too. And see, that's the problem. The problem is we get comfortable with putting it on and taking it off. When he said, I need you to take it off. Now, not only did he say, take this stuff off. Because it was hot up here. Oh. See, this is that little bitty stuff. Like attitudes. But he said, listen, he said, take it off. And then verse 10, put back verse 10 back up there. Verse 10. Watch verse 10. Read verse 10 with me, church. He says, put on your new nature. Bring my new nature up here. Glory be to God. Yeah. He said, no. Put on the new nature. Yeah. You know why? Because the world needs to see something, and they can't see it if you don't take some stuff off. So listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, since God chose you to be holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves. Watch this. These are the things that you have to start putting on. He said, put on tender-hearted mercy. Put on some kindness. Stop being so mean. Listen, put on some humility. Put on some gentleness. Put on some patience. If you notice, these are nothing but fruit of the Spirit. He said, listen, I need you to put on. He said, make allowance for each other's faults. Why you always got to point it out with somebody? He said, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you need to forgive other people. He says, and above all, you need to clothe yourself. Put some love on. And then with all of that, let the peace of God through Christ rule in your hearts. Because listen, church, I don't want to get to heaven. And Jesus says to me, Eben, your life blocked more people out of heaven than your new life won them to heaven. Amen. So we got to line our life up with this word. And it, listen, Linda. Because the devil will let you sit there and say, see, he just talking about somebody being perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. He ain't perfect. Only Jesus perfect. I ain't talking about living a perfect life, but I am talking about living a life of progress. God knows my heart. He does, and he wants your heart to progress. Which now brings us to our last point, and that is your story give God glory. See, what I've discovered, most people are timid when it comes to sharing their faith. Because I don't know enough Bible, I don't have any scripture memorized, and I didn't grow up in church, so I don't know that stuff. But see, it's not just you knowing the Bible that you can use for bait. It's your personal story where God has did some things in your life that will cause people to hear you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to read the whole story, and I might give y'all some change this morning. This story was about a man who was born blind. And this guy was not only born blind, but he was up in age, right? So Jesus finds this guy. The guy wants healing. Jesus spits on the ground. He made mud out of it. Then he put it on the man's eyes. And he tells the man to go wash in this pool called Siloam. And the Bible says the man came back seeing. So we're going to pick up the story now in verse. Let's pick it up in verse 9. No, let's pick it up in verse 7. Let's pick it up verse 7. If they'll find it for me. There we go. Verse 7. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Which is mean sin. So the man went and washed and he came back what? Seeing. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar, they asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, he was. And others said, it just looked like somebody that looked like him. But the beggar said, yes, it's me. I'm the same one. And so they ask him, well, who healed you? And he says, they said, what happened? And so he told them, the man they called Jesus made some mud and he spread it over my eyes and told me to go wash. And he says, and so I went and washed and I came back seeing. They said, well, where is he now? They said, well, he said, I don't know. So they took the man and put him in front of the religious people. Because it was on the Sabbath day that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. Verse 15. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, well, he put some mud over my eyes. And when I washed, I came back seeing. So some of the Pharisees said, well, this man, Jesus, is not from God. For who is he? Because he's working on the Sabbath. And so the other said, but how can an ordinary sinner do such miracle things? And so there was a division among the opinion of them. And so then verse 17 says, then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind. They said, well, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? See, now he's telling his story. See, they have issues with Jesus. And they have issues with how he functioned on the Sabbath. But what they can't have an issue with is this man's experience and changed life. So they said, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? The man replied, well, I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man who had been blind and now could see. So they called his parents. Oh, my God, this man is 40 years old probably. They called his parents. And so they ask him, is this your son? And was he born blind? And if so, how can he see now? And so verse 20, the Bible says, his parents reply, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Why don't you ask him? He's old enough to speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be thrown out of the synagogue. And so that's why he said, he's old enough. Why don't you ask him? Here we go. I'm closing right here. Verse 24. It says, and so for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and they told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. The man said, hey, I don't know whether he is a sinner or not, but what I do know is that I was blind and now I can see. I know you don't believe in Christianity, but I tell you, I went to church and I was in pain and I'm not in pain no more. Oh, you don't understand. I know you might not believe in God. I know you may not believe in Jesus, but I was on drugs for 25 years and somehow I woke up and now I'm free. The world might refute who you believe in, but they cannot refute what God has done in your life. So, church, so, Pastor, why'd you go through all that? Because the mission of this church is to know Christ and what? Make him known. And so each one of you should have had one of these or two of these in your chair. Did you get some? Did you get some? And if you're online and you want some, we'll figure out how to get you some. And it says, sit with me in church this Sunday. And on the back, there's a QR code that they can scan and it'll send them somewhere to help them get here, right? But this can be the conversation starter. You at work, sitting in your cubicle. And God puts it on your heart to buy lunch for Sally. You don't like Sally. Sally's real name is, what's her name? Karen. That's her name. Sally acts like a Karen. You don't want to have nothing to do with Sally. But the Lord told you to buy her lunch today. And so what you do is you take your little $20 bill or whatever lunch is, and you wrap it in there like this. And you know what, Sally? If you will allow me, can I be a blessing to you today? Who gonna say no to that? If they say, well, no, say, well, thank you. I'll keep it for myself. Most of the time, they gonna say, yeah. So what you gonna do is give this to them and say, by the way, will you come sit with me at church on Sunday? Now, you say, well, Pastor, what if they don't do nothing? Listen to me. Listen carefully. Our responsibility is to sow the seed. God's responsibility is to harvest the seed. So you don't know what stage that person's life is in, but your responsibility is to sow the seed because you don't know who God's going to use to come and water it. And you never know, watch this now, because now your life got all that stuff off of it. And Sally know that you used to cuss her out. She know that. She know that. She is a witness of you cussing her out. And so Sally did something that she know got on your last nerve. But this time you didn't cuss Sally out. Sally's confused right now. She comes back to your cubicle and says, David, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Well, everything's okay, Sally? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just used to you cussing me out. All is well, Sally. Consistency in your display of righteousness brings now an intriguing mindset. It's like, oh, I wonder what's going on with them. I've been working with David for 25 years and he cussed at me out every day. So now Sally wants to know, well, what happened to you? So I'm going to close with my personal testimony. So, of course, I get saved on October the 6th, 1985. And, I mean, I wasn't terribly bad, but I wasn't good either. So one of my things back then in the day was, I mean, I was a cusser. I was a drinker. I don't forget, you know, you know, I had my own car. My parents gave me a car. And so I smoked weed in my car. So, you know, and I would collect the doobies in the ashtray. What do they call doobies now? You know, the roaches, what y'all call a roach? What is it, y'all? I know y'all know. Somebody in here know what I'm talking about. I know the second service is going to really know what I'm talking about. So a roach, back in the day, we called a doobie, which is a joint that you didn't finish smoking. So what I would do is collect those and roll up one big joint. Because I didn't like my fingers being brown. Because if you smoke a joint and you let it get too low, what's going to happen is the heat is going to burn your fingers. So when you see people with brown fingers, it's because they are smokers of the organic type. Keep your hands in your lap. We won't even know. We won't even know. We won't even know. So my dad gets in my car one day and I didn't close my ashtray. Yeah. So he asked me, he said, son, do you smoke weed? I said, well, yeah. Ain't no use of lying. It's right there. It's right there. I said, he said, well, listen, if you ever go to jail for smoking weed, I ain't getting you out. I said, okay. All right. I feel you on that. So long story short, I get saved and I get radically saved. Now, there's some things that didn't stop, you know, like that, like cussing, you know. It took a while. But weed smoking, I stopped smoking weed that day. Didn't smoke no more, right? So I'll never forget, my dad calls me into his room. That means, see, back in the day, kids running in and out of your room. It wasn't like that back in the day. You don't go in your mama and daddy's room. You knock. And you wait for them to say, come in. I'm like, I'm confused. I'm like, why is he want, what does he want? Cause I've been living, man, I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm getting all my homeboys saved and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking, okay, what's going on with him? So I go in there and sit down and he says, hey, Evan, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, can you answer something for me? I was like, what is it? He says, what has made you change so drastically? And I was able to give him my story. And I believe God wants to use you and what he has done in your life to talk to other people about. Did y'all get something out of the word today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here and you say, here's my question to you is, are you saved?